Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens, but the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today.
I feel like I am living in the dream that I dreamed of having. I'm living in the life of the dream that I dreamed that I'm dreaming. I am living the life that I once dreamed of having. There we go. That's the one. And I don't want to say that and have it come off in a boastful way. I don't want to be like, oh my gosh, like I am just living it up in here, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying that because I am very reflective right now, sitting here over the past whirlwind of the couple of weeks that Ryan and I have had. And I'm just so incredibly grateful and feel so undeserving. We do not deserve the life that we are living. I mean, none of us deserve to live in happiness. We all deserve death, but bless the Heavenly Father who took that upon himself. And so I get to sit here and live these wonderful dreams and desires that he has allowed to be placed on my heart. And I get to experience them in this life. And it's so fun and so exciting and so thrilling, but also makes me be like, why me? Like, why do I get to experience that? How cool that I am the one that gets to experience something that's so fulfilling and exciting on this evil earth. It's like, the Lord is so kind in letting us live life to the fullest and letting us enjoy this life. It just almost feels kind of crazy to be like, I get to like have fun even though I deserve like not to have fun. Like, I don't know. It's so cool. And I don't want that to sound crazy and depressing and like, oh my gosh, like, blah, blah, blah. Yes, God wants us to have fun. It's just now I'm sitting here reflecting. I'm about to film a podcast episode that's literally giving you an update on my life and my thoughts about it. And so that's like the biggest thought is just like, why me, Lord? Like, it's just crazy. It's just wild. Like, why me? Why do I get to experience these things? I'm very blessed and very just thankful to my parents who have allowed me to grow up the way that I did grow up so that I'm able to have the dreams that I want to have. I'm very grateful to have a husband who supports my dreams and supports my career and has supported me so much in my career that he has joined me. I'm so incredibly blessed. Wow, I'm just already getting choked up right now. I'm so incredibly blessed to have friends, family, people in my life who cheer me on and they don't make me feel bad about my endeavors. And just life is just beautiful. But it's not always like that. And it very recently was not like that for a very long period of time, fresh out of marriage. And so I'm finally feeling more myself now than I ever have in my life post-marriage. And I don't mean that to bash on Ryan or say anything about Ryan. This has nothing to do with Ryan. Being with Ryan has allowed me to be the best version of myself, a new version of myself. I feel like a completely new person now that I'm married to Ryan because I am. I mean, we're made one. I am genetically, like emotionally, I am changed forever. So even me at my lowest in marriage is still plentiful and fruitful and amazing, but it's just been hard for me mentally. Coming out of relapsing from yet another ED and then just going into working through that and then unpacking a lot of emotions and things that I had to unpack because now I'm sharing that with someone and the things that I could push down and like hide and that I didn't have to really worry about because I wasn't living with someone. I then had to verbalize that to the person I'm living with now, because honesty is going to get you leaps and bounds farther than just trying to put on a pretty face when it comes to marriage. And so I had to share the hard parts about my life and what I thought with Ryan. And some of those things, like, I hadn't even admitted to myself, and I had to search for that. And so there's just a lot that's been coming up, and I finally feel in just such a steady, content place. And I'm going to share that with you guys right now, because the Lord is not going to give us more than we can handle without providing people to help us along the way. I used to say he's not going to give you more than you can handle. However, if you read Moses, you know that's not the case, because the Lord gave Moses extremely big tasks, literally taking Israel back, going to Pharaoh and be like, let my people go. They're going to come with me. You're coming home with me. Moses really said that. He really said, you're going to come home with me. And it took a while to get there, but Moses was like, I don't want to do this by myself. And the Lord was like, well, here's Aaron. Take Aaron, Aaron, go take him with you. He'll speak for you. He'll do the speaking, but I've called you to do this. And so I don't necessarily agree that God won't give you more than you can handle, but I do stand behind the statement, God will give you more than you can handle, but give you the tools to be able to handle it. Meaning, like, God could give me something and it's super crazy and hard, but he's not going to be like, and now you're on your own. He's going to have his way with it, and he's going to make it be for my good. He's not going to, like, prey on my downfall. God's not like that. And so this hard time that I've just had has really allowed me to be able to be extremely extra grateful and thankful for the experiences that Ryan and I have been able to have. Words are hard. And I don't think I would be able to fully enjoy and savor these incredible, beautiful experiences and moments that we get to have right now if it wasn't for the hard seasons that we have been through and the hard season that I just recently went through mentally. I also think, like, the things that I go through are meant to be shared. And without Jesus, I have no idea who I am. And I've really been struggling with the concept of, I'm going to be so real, I've really been struggling with the concept of, like, cults, because I feel like a lot in the media today is like, Christianity is a cult and this is a cult and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, if only they knew the truth. But then I look and I look at these other religions and these other ways of life that people live that I don't believe in. And I'm like, but then why am I over here being like saying the same thing? Like, and I'm not saying that's right at all. I'm actually pretty embarrassed to admit that. I'm very extremely embarrassed to admit that. In fact, it's like, I literally feel like I'm being a Pharisee right now of like, do as I say, not as I do, which just stinks to come on a camera and admit that to the people listening, because it's like, I want to be perfect. I never want to make a mistake. I never want to be human. But at this point, I'm just tired of trying to put on that face, because I'm human, and I think things like that, and it's not fun. And I ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness every time I have a thought like that. But I just have struggled with that, because I'm like, well, people probably view me that way. And people probably view me in the way of like, oh, she's crazy, or she's this, or oh, she's a Christian, she's involved in that Jesus stuff. Because then I'm over here being like, oh, well, they're involved in that stuff. But I want y'all to hear my heart, that it's not like in a judgmental way. It's in a way that's like, oh, I just wish they knew the truth. I wish they knew what I know, because the life that I get to live and the freedom that I get to walk in is so unexplainable, indescribable. I can't even put words to it. I think that's why sometimes it's hard to grasp, because you really can't fully describe the feeling of knowing Jesus Christ in words. You just feel it. It's like this fire. It's like this passion that surpasses all other passions that I've had in my life. And so when I look at other religions or other people, or even people that are involved in cults, and I'm like, oh, if only they knew what I knew. Like, I just want them to know the person that I know, the truth that I know. You know, I can't help but wonder, like, do other people feel like that? And so I don't know. That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I'm just kind of wrestling with and praying over, and, you know, how to navigate through that, and how to talk to people, how to talk to myself about it. I've been talking with God a lot about it. And like, what do I do with these thoughts, this web of thoughts? Like, what do I do with this? I don't know. And I bring all that up to say, I kind of went off on a tangent, but that's kind of like the point of this podcast. Anyways, I say that to say, I used to look at these influencers who are Christians, or should I say rather these Christians who are influencers, or people that I look up to in the Christian culture space, or people that I'm like, oh, they're such a good speaker. Like, I love Sadie Robertson. I love Janine Amapola. I love, you know, Corey Robertson and Jackie Hill Perry and these people. Like, I've just always listened to them. I find them very wise, you know. And I'm like, oh, they never struggle with their thoughts or beliefs, or they're never confused about, you know, certain things in their religion, and their faith is just, you know, they never have a doubt, or they never this. And that's just not the case. It's just not true. everyone is human. Everyone is going to have a moment of confusion, have a moment of doubt. Like, we are human. That's how it is. And so I bring that up because I don't want people to think that I'm an exception to, like, not being perfect. Like, I'm not perfect. And I have doubts all the time. And I have confusions all the time. And I wrestle with God all the time. But in the same breath, I have those thoughts, yet I know without a doubt that I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. On a scale from 0 to 10, I'm a 10 in going to heaven because I have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. So even if I have confusion, even if I have doubts, even if I don't know, you know, where to go and what to do, I know I am going to be with him. That is unwavering. That is foundational. That is, I will die on that hill. I literally am going to die on that hill. And so I just want to bring that to light. I don't know if anyone needed that. I don't really know. The Holy Spirit kind of took over in that, I'm going to be honest, because I'm not really sure what I really said right there, but someone needed it. That was the Holy Spirit interceding. And I just think that I'm very...
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Very quick to look at other people online and make assumptions about their life that they are end all be all, just so great. And, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be like them. When really I should be like, oh, I wish I could be like Jesus, and not in a way that, like, I am Jesus, but Jesus is the model of perfection. Jesus is the model for us to, you know, implement these things in our life the way that he treated people. Like, I want to treat people the way that Jesus treated people. So, you know, the thing that Jesus did is he was honest with people. And so this is me being honest. I'm not perfect. Sue me. I'm not perfect. But I hope that offers a little bit of freedom for someone who may also be comparing themselves as well. Wow. I don't really know how I went off on that tangent. Hi. There. I'm lowering the camera right now as we speak because I just scooted down because I'm sitting on the floor in a bedroom. I have my coffee in hand. A little sippy sippy. There's no ice in this because this is like a day old coffee, but it's really good. It's a iced almond milk latte with stevia. It's from Southern Grind Coffee House here in Orange Beach, Alabama. And then on the lid of my to-go cup, I have a honey lemon cough drop. Why? Because life update number one, I guess this is technically life update number two. I have been so sick, but not like sick to where you can't like go out in public or like you have a fever or you have like an actual illness. No. I'm just sick to where I just cough all the time. I'm actually going to put my cough drop in right now because talking is making me want to cough. So disregard the cough drop. Yeah, so I am going on week two of coming down with this sore throat, who knows what it is kind of thing. Ryan had it the week before me. Love you, Ryan. Thank you so much. But I had to cancel my voice lesson because I literally can't sing. I actually have to film an audition today and I can't sing. So I don't really know how that's going to work. But I have not been able to make it through the night without having a coughing spell. I wake up in the middle of the night and my throat is literally red and raw and like on fire. It hurts so bad. But it came down like the first couple days, I was just really tired. And then the next couple days, my throat really hurt. I started coughing. You know how that goes. And now I'm here. And now we're in this place. It's fine. I was out for like an entire week. Like I didn't work out. I didn't move. I literally laid on the couch all day, slept. I was so tired. My Aura Ring was like, you are showing major signs of stress. And I'm like, yeah, because I feel horrible, but we're on the up and up. I'm able to run again. I'm able to do things again. Praise Jesus for that. Now I'm just trying to get through a full night's sleep without waking up from a coughing attack. It comes in phases. Like I'll have a tickle in my throat and then it'll just be like cough, 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 cough. And then it'll like stop for 4 hours and then I'll cough again. And it's just not fun. Anyways, I will be getting better. Life update number two, dancing with the stars. So on my podcast last week, I said, okay, if you guys want me to do like a full dedicated video to Dancing with the Stars, let me know. So y'all let me know. And so that's what this is. But I also don't have like enough to fill up an entire podcast episode with Dancing with the Stars facts, because like it was really, really cool, but it would just be boring for me to talk for like 45 minutes about, and then they did this, and then they did this. But I will give you guys an update on the trip. So for those of you that don't know, Ryan and I got invited, I guess you could say, to Dancing with the Stars. We didn't get invited by like the producers or anything. We knew someone who knew someone. It was like one of those things, which I guess I'm finding, especially in LA, is like how things go, especially with Dancing with the Stars. Like, I don't think there were many people who, like, I don't even know how you can, I don't think you can buy tickets. I think you have to be like entered into a lottery system or something. And then when you get entered into the lottery system, you still don't even know if you're going to be able to get a seat or not. Like, I think it's all about like what you know and who you know. And Ryan and I just got extremely blessed. Like, I feel very undeserving, but we got extremely blessed to just have a connection with someone through Instagram. And they actually knew when they represent one of the pros on the show. And so through the grapevine, one of the pros like so kindly donated, I don't know, used some of his tickets that he gets for each show. And we got to sit like with his people, which was just so cool. Like, it was actually so cool. I felt so bougie, so special. We were literally on a list. Like, our names were on a list. I felt so not Abby. Like, this was peak stardom for me at this point in my life and in my career. And some of you may not know this. You probably know me as the runner girl or the Christian runner or whatever you know me as. I am a theater girl at heart. I started musical theater. I did my first show when I was 9, and I did not stop until 2-ish years ago. I wanted to do it forever. And I'll kind of go a little bit more on this of where I'm at with it now. But then when I was 20, the Lord was like, you know what? We're going to stop this for right now. And you're going to go all in on running and ministry, and that's going to be your ministry. And now here we are today with content. And if I would not have stopped theater at the time, I would not have the job, the career, the platform that I have now. So God, as he always does, definitely knew what he was doing right there. Okay. But it was just hard for me to like release that at the time. But being at Dancing with the Stars, which this may sound silly, like some people might be like, okay, you went and sat at a show, but it just meant so much for me because we are not able to experience these experiences without you guys. Like, you guys engaging in our content allows us to fulfill all of these dreams of creating and entertaining. And literally, it's my job now because of you guys, literally because of you all, you engaging, you liking, you commenting, you showing up to events, doing things that all we are so much more grateful for than you guys even know, because there's just no words that can amount to like the thankfulness that we have for you all in the community that Ryan and I are able to talk to every day. And that community right there is the reason that we were able to go to Dancing with the Stars, because we would not have had these connections if it was not for the social media platform that we have today. So thank you so much. Because 9-year-old Abby was like, wow, this is my dreams right here. And it just felt I felt like a little kid. I really did. It was just a good moment. It was a really, really good moment. So the day before we got there on a Monday, and Ryan and I got into our hotel, and then we went to Venice Beach and then Santa Monica. And if you want to like see more about that, Ryan and I posted a YouTube vlog about it, so you can go watch it. But it was super fun. We fell in love with LA. Like, we pretty quickly fell in love with LA. We actually really, really like LA a lot, which makes me happy, because one day I would love to be in a show or film out there, or do a project out there, or do something out there. I really like LA. I like the atmosphere. I like the city, and I love acting. That's my first love. That's my first passion. And so we just kind of explored that day. We ate food, whatever. Second day, we went to the Hollywood sign. So fun. So cool. Then we went back. We got ready. We had to be there from at 3:15 to 4:15. Like, that's when they started accepting people into their seats. So Ryan and I got there at like 2:15-ish, and we went and we got coffee like near where they film. We met up with our friend that was going to like walk us in, that got us the tickets and got us armbands to get on the floor, like all sorts of really cool stuff. And so we met with him. We went to Erewhon. That was fun. I absolutely love Erewhon. Yes, it is worth all the hype. Okay. It was worth all the hype. I got the viral raw cinnamon roll, and it was leaps and bounds, people, leaps and bounds better than what I thought it was going to be. It was so good. So Erewhon definitely deserves the hype. Okay. So then it was time for us to walk in. So we walk into this little back door, like it's just behind this covered up fence, and I go to this next guy and I tell him my name, Abby Luckett. And then he's like, okay, go to the next guy. Go to the next guy. I hand him my bag. He looks at my bag, checks my bag. And then they're like, okay, you guys are good. We hand them our ID. They check our ID to make sure like we are who we say we are. And then we walk in. So once we walk in, there's like this lot of parking lot, and everyone's just out and about. Like, it was so chill. Like, I thought it was gonna be very like, don't talk to the stars, or like, I didn't think we were gonna see any of the stars or any of the people, like none of that. And everyone was just out and about, like mixing with the guests and mixing with the people that were like going to sit. Like, I don't know if you guys are big on the Dancing with the Stars train or anything, but I follow a lot of the people that are on Dancing with the Stars, and they film in front of this big wall that says like Dancing with the Stars. Or like sometimes in videos, I'll see them getting touch-ups in like a vanity, like touch-ups on their makeup in a vanity with like lights and stuff. Like, I saw all that. Like, the doors were just open. Like, their backstage area is just open. Like, huge doors open to the public. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to walk back there. They probably would have stopped me, but because I didn't try. But like, I just saw everybody. Like, everyone was out there. I literally walked past Jordan Chiles. I saw Tanner and Connor from Love on the Spectrum just walking around. I saw a bunch of the troop members. I saw a couple of the other people. I don't even remember because everyone was just out there. It was like all the people waiting in this line to get into the ballroom, mixing with all of the pros. Everyone was just out there chilling. I was so shocked. Because I don't know, I just thought like they would have bodyguards or like, I don't know. But I guess since everyone kind of knows everybody, there's a safety aspect of like, oh, okay, well, like we're going to be safe back here. I don't know. Like, I literally looked over to my right shoulder as I was waiting to get my armband, and Jordan was literally right next to me, like right next to me, like not even a hand distance. And I was like, Brian, that's Jordan Chiles. And he was like,
have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Oh, cool. And I was like, how are you not? I found out very quickly, Ryan doesn't get starstruck. Me, when I saw Tanner and Connor from Love on the Spectrum, I got starstruck. When I saw Andy Richter, I got starstruck. Okay, people. Anyways, so we got these armbands that allowed us to go onto the ballroom floor after the show was finished recording. So we got our armbands and then we basically just walked right in. And so once we walked in, we went on the second floor. We were up by the second floor, but we sat right by the skybox. So there are these like cushioned chairs that are in the second row. They had like regular chairs, but then there's a section of like a cushioned couch. And Ryan and I got to sit on the cushioned couch, which made me happy because I was really comfortable. And then I sat next to, again, I'm going to say names. If you don't know names, then just disregard. But Brandon Armstrong, he's a pro on Dancing with the Stars. I sat next to his family. Y'all, the way I flipped my lid. I literally was like, oh my gosh, Ryan. I follow Brandon's wife. She posts content as well. And I saw her name and I was like, Brian, whoa, okay, I need to calm down. I was like, Ryan, we're sitting next to Brandon's family. And he was like, And I was like, the pro, Brandon, the pro. And Ryan was like, oh, that guy. Cause he just knows faces, you know what I mean? And he'll be like, who's the guy with the, and then I'll be like, oh, this person, first, middle, last name, and social security number. Yeah, I know them. So anyways, so I was like, Ryan, oh my gosh. So they come and sit, and I met his stepmom and his dad, his wife, and another girl who I should have asked how she was related to them. But there was just so much going on, and she was like all the way away from me that I was like, we just never talked. So anyways, we did say we liked each other's dress though. So that was fun. This is my claim to fame, people, is that I low-key became best friends with Brandon Arnold's stepmom and dad. Yeah, that's my claim to fame. Because here's the thing, okay? So we, you know, we're just yapping away. And when you're on this show, like, there's a lot of downtime. Like, when you guys see the ads or the commercial breaks, we are seeing a 3-minute timer, and in between each dance and each song are people that are like cleaning the stage, setting up for the next dance, and yada yada yada. So we just get to talk, hang out, whatever. So I would just ask her questions and like get to know her, because I'm just sitting there, you know. I get to talk to Ryan all the time, so that's always fun to talk to Ryan, but I love to talk to new people. Yeah, I learned what they do for work. I learned how they met each other. I learned where they lived. I learned all sorts of fun facts and things, and it was incredible. And then what was really cool about sitting near the skybox, which if you don't know what the skybox is, it's where the couples all go to get their scores. But then a lot of the couples will also hang out in the skybox to watch other people do their dances. And so that was really cool because we were so close to so many famous people, which just made me feel like so cool. And where I was sitting is where the couples walk to get backstage. So not only were we getting to see them in the skybox super close, but then they would walk by our seats and see us. Well, not like see us, but we would see them, and they would like look to see if they like saw anybody they knew and stuff. So I pretty much like to say that I made eye contact with like basically everyone, which was like just pretty much like we were all just like best friends. So yeah, like super cool. I'm like best friends with everyone in Dancing with the Stars now. We're all like super close and tight, and like I'm in a group chat and stuff. So yeah, like you guys may not hear from me again. Like I'm probably gonna move to LA and like be changed forever, and just like, yeah, no, but seriously, it was actually really cool. I got to meet Brandon, obviously, because he came to see his family, and then his mom was like, come on, I gotta introduce you to someone, which is like so sweet and so cool. They have no idea who I am, but I will forever remember that and be thankful for that. And then I got to meet Alan. I got to meet Tanner and Connor from Love on the Spectrum, obviously. I'm obsessed with them, y'all. They are so much, like they are everything and more. They are so kind and so sweet. I got to meet Flava Flav. Well, Ryan met Flava Flav. This is actually kind of a funny story. So Flava Flav was the guest judge for the rock and roll night that we went to on Dancing with the Stars. And Ryan was like, should I get a picture with Flava Flav? And I was like, yeah, go get a picture. So he's walking back and we were like, hey, can Ryan get a picture with you? Sure. So I took a picture of him, and then we were with two other girls. And so I was like, do you want me to take a picture like of you guys too? And they were like, sure. So then Flava Flav looked at me, and he's probably a listener of That's Life podcast. Honestly, he probably follows Abby and Ryan, and he probably was just fangirling. You know what? That's what happened. He was just fangirling. That's exactly what it is. Man, I'm really glad that I realized this. No, but actually he looked at me and he was just like, okay, now everyone else got a picture except for you. So you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get you in a picture. But I know deep down he was just fangirling and he wanted a picture with me. So I'm like, whatever. I'm just kidding. But actually it was really cool. It was so sweet. He was very, very sweet. And so we got a picture. I got a picture with him. And then I'm trying to think if I met anyone else. Oh, we sat behind, I guess it was Jenna Johnson's family. She is a pro on the show, because they kept like saying Jenna, Jenna, and she kept waving to them. And then she came up to where we were sitting and like met them. So if that wasn't her family, she was just really excited to see those random people. And then we also saw her son. Her son was sitting next to us too, which was really cool. I think his name's Rome, which is a really, really cute name. And then, yeah, that was pretty much everyone I saw, like met, but we saw and walked past like so many people, like pretty much everyone. So that was really awesome. And then as we were leaving, we saw Derek Huck. Why can I not talk? Derek Huff going back to his trailer, I guess. And so we got a picture with him. He was so nice, like super, super nice, especially because he had just worked. He had a full day, and we were just like, hey, can we get a picture with you? And he was like, yeah, sure. What's your name? Like asked our name, whatever. Well, we didn't just ask for a picture with him. We like talked to him and we were like, hey, like big fans, and like got to know him. I always try to like gauge, like if we ever get to meet famous people, like gauge, you know, how much I can talk to them, because I'd much rather talk with people than get a picture. But Ryan's always good about remembering to get pictures, because, you know, pictures are sweet and you want to get pictures with people. But I just like never ask for pictures. I always just want to like talk to the person. And so I like try to gauge what their like conversation meter is. And I bet he could have talked all night, but we were like, it's the end of a night, so whatever. So yeah, so after the show was done, we got to go onto the stage. We met all these people. During the actual show, it was really, really cool. You can't film while they're actually dancing, because they don't want to record an audience that's just on their phones, which I totally agree with. Like, I think it is so great to be in the moment. You're literally there at the live recording, like just enjoy it. But it was cool to film in between dances. It was cool to see like in between each of the dances, they clean the stage. There's like backstage people counting down. There's like 3, 2, 1, and we're live. But something that I haven't heard anyone say yet that kind of shocked me is you are clapping the entire time they're on air. So anytime a camera is rolling, the audience is clapping. Like, we clapped for the entire finale
and every single dance, every single group dance. The only time we weren't counting or weren't clapping was when they were getting their scores or when the judges were talking. That's it. But I always wondered like if there was like an applause sign or if, you know, people were telling them to clap. No, you just clap. There is a guy that's kind of like the hype person that talks to you in between the show and before the show and after the show. And they do like little, I guess, bribes or incentives to get people to be reactive. Cause he was like, okay, the person that I see that's being the most expressive this go around will get a t-shirt. The person that I see clapping the most will get free tickets to the finale. The person that I see giving the most energy in the audience gets this and gets that. So that was interesting to see like the incentives behind it. And then, oh, something else that was cool is that we see them like do the pre-recorded stuff. So there was a number in the show where the troupe and it was like the troupe and some of the pros that are going on tour, they did like a dance in the middle of the show where I guess they were just like advertising the tour. They pre-filmed that. So there was a section of the show that they pre-filmed, but they put it in the middle of the show. And so we got to see them pre-film it, which was pretty cool. And so while it was playing on like the actual TV screen for the viewers at home, they were resetting the ballroom in real time. So that was pretty cool too. I think that my favorite part of the entire night was probably meeting Connor and Tanner. I'm not gonna lie. They were so kind. If you don't know what Love on the Spectrum is, it's basically like a show highlighting those with autism finding love pretty much and like going on dates and stuff. And them two have just skyrocketed. I mean, they are living their best lives as they should. But I think people just love to cheer on kind, good people in this world. And they are exactly that and more. And their family too. I met their moms. They're so kind, so sweet, just amazing. So Dancing with the Stars was a success. 10 out of 10. I would go every week if I could. It was awesome. One day I'll be on it. Mark my words. One day I will be on that show. How we get on there, I don't know, but I will be on it. Anyways, you're probably like, Abby, where are you right now? Life update number, I don't know, I lost track at this point. We are at the beach. So Ryan and I went from LA straight to the beach with one day in between. And that one day was not even supposed to be there, but I was just so sick. We were like, we're going to give it one day. I need to like rest because I wasn't able to rest in LA when I was sick. And so I just had coughs and sniffles and stuff, but it didn't get better and it kept getting worse because we were going all day. I didn't like lay in the room or anything and actually rest and try to get better. So it was just getting worse. So I rested all day, felt incredible, basically rotted, just laid on the bed and made like LTK gift guides, which is so fun. I love doing that. And then we drove the next day here to the beach in Orange Beach, Alabama. I'm in my grandma's room right now. My grandma has a place here. So you guys may be like, Abby and Ryan seem like they're always at the beach. Like, how can they afford that? How can they do that? We are so fortunate that my grandma has a place at the beach in this beautiful condo. And my family was coming on a trip here and they asked if we wanted to go. And of course we said yes. So that's why we're here now. And we'll be here for about a week. Then we go back home. And then the next week, Ryan and I are going to New York. So something that Ryan and I do for Christmas, we've done this ever since we were dating. We just kind of started doing it for birthdays. And then we were like, let's do it for Christmas. And now, you know, we've been together so long that we're just like, let's just keep doing this because I don't know, Ryan and I try not to consume a lot of things that will just kind of like end up in the trash later. I guess just like gadget wise or, you know, like the new hot thing for Christmas this year is going to be this. But Ryan and I are like, okay, well, will this like actually be lasting or is it just something that we want right now that we'll throw in the trash later? And even if it is something that is like really hot that we want right now, like if we really want it, you know, we'll talk about it and invest that money where we see fit. But we just find a lot more, I guess, meaning behind trips as gifts for us personally. We just love going on a trip. We will take any excuse to go on a trip. We are big travel people. We want to travel and see everything that we can. And so when the holidays come around and we're like, okay, would we rather put our money towards gifts that, you know, that will bring us joy too, but, or would we rather go on a trip? And it's always just going on a trip. So at this point for Christmas every year, Ryan and I go on a trip. This year, same as last year, we're going to New York. Super excited about that. We're trying to find some people to plan runs with while we're there. Just trying to like meet up with people and make new friends in the running space, especially because we're training for some races upcoming here soon. And so we're really going to make it a priority to try to get out into the city more. The last time that we went to New York was last year and it was Ryan's like first real exposure to New York. And so it was mostly just like, let's do the touristy things and let's go see the big things. So now that we've kind of, I don't want to say got that out of the way, but check that off the list, Ryan and I are looking for a more like chill, let's not plan as much, let's kind of see more local spots kind of trip. We're going to spend a lot of time in coffee shops. We're going to have one whole day that we just dedicate to filming content for you guys. We want to
try to take you guys everywhere that we go. And so, yeah, it's going to be really fun. We're going to enjoy Christmas. We're going to go see the Rockettes. We're going to go see the Outsiders, which I'm really excited about. And I think that trip is definitely going to be the final push that I need to fully be consumed in the musical theater world again. So this is probably my biggest life update, and I haven't actually fully announced this on the podcast yet. I made a little video about it on my personal Instagram, but I am auditioning again. This is something that I did not think that I was going to do. I thought that I was done. So like I said before, I started musical theater when I was 9. I did it all throughout school, all throughout high school. I studied it in college, went to get my BFA in musical theater. And then after my junior year of college, my senior year, right before I had all my classes signed up and everything, I transferred majors and I finished the rest of my credits online. I was extremely ahead in college as well. And so I had like 6 credits left to get the BFA. So I really want to be like, yeah, I basically got a BFA, but I can't say that because I didn't officially get a BFA, but I got majority of the training to get a BFA, and which is a bachelor's in fine arts in musical theater. So anyways, I was like, well, I guess I'm never going to use this. I just felt the Lord pulling me somewhere else. I had never been in rehearsal and been like, oh, I want to leave. I had never, ever, ever been on stage and been like, I don't want to be here. And I felt that in my last performance that I did at school. I literally was dancing on the stage and I was like, I would rather be anywhere else. And that was just my final straw of like, I am trying to push myself to do something that I know God does not want me to do, which was just really hard because the year prior I had left school and gone to be in an original Broadway musical, picked up, moved my life, went, did the whole thing and was like, okay, this is the start of my career. I'm going to get an agent. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do all the things. I was going to do that. Like, I was fully committing to do that. And so this was just like a curveball. I never thought I was not going to have a life in musical theater. So anyways, I left school. And when I left, I was like, I don't know if I'm done forever, but it feels like God is just saying no. And now I'm realizing he wasn't saying no. He was just saying not right now. And I think, and I don't want to insert too much of like my humanness into this story, but I really fully believe that like God needed me to fully surrender what I thought my identity was in, which was musical theater, and equating my worth to how good I did in the performance space. I found a lot of my identity in how I performed. And he needed me to fully surrender that in order for me to be able to enjoy it again. Because I was at a place in school where performances were a grade. Like, that's how I got my grade. I would sing and I would get a score and a grade. And that's how, like, that's how we would get our report cards, was through performances. I mean, obviously we took like classes in music and stuff like that, but you know, for the most part, we would be trained in seminar classes and sing in front of people. And I just developed this extreme performance anxiety. It was really bad and like crippling. If I had a performance that day, I would think about it for 48 hours before, anxious, stomach in knots. It would eat me up. And then I would get on the stage and just want to cry, run away, get through it. I was so shaky. I was so anxious, which I don't think any of my friends really knew this. I think they knew I was struggling. Like, my friends knew I was struggling. I was also going through like a hard time in my life, but I didn't really let anyone know to what extent of what was going on. I was like, not okay. I would cry every time I had to go to school because I was just so anxious and I just had to stop. I had to stop. And when I fully separated myself, I realized how much of my identity I was placing in it. I realized how much of my worth I was placing in how I performed rather than finding my identity in Christ. And I was just really caught up in it in a very unhealthy level. So anyways, I really didn't think I was going to go back to it. And I haven't actually like taken a lesson in about 2 years. I haven't taken a voice lesson in like 2 years, haven't taken a dance class in like 2 years, haven't performed in like a year, I think. And for the past 6 months, I've kind of felt the urge, you know, to do it again, prayed about it, did some research, whatever, kind of let it linger just to make sure it wasn't a phase. And last month I was like, okay, I'm going all in. Let's do this. So I am back in classes now. I'm training again, just kind of, you know, brushing off the cobwebs, doing, you know, what I love to do. And I am enjoying every single moment of it. I get so excited to go to my voice lessons. I sing all the time. I dance all the time. I'm trying to get my flexibility back, trying to get my tricks back, trying to get everything back, kind of trying to trust my training. And I auditioned for a show and I got it. So I'm going to be in a show in February. I don't know if I'm allowed to announce it yet, but once they announce it, I'll announce it. And I'm just planning some big things to try to do. And if the Lord wants me to do it, then I'm going to keep doing it. And right now he wants me to do it. I was on a walk and I was like, okay, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, stop me now, because I'm about to go all in. And
yeah, I think I'm all in. I'm really excited about it. I have that itch. I have that feeling again that I didn't have for a long time. That's this like burning sensation and desire to just like go be on a stage. And I haven't had that in so long. I'm so excited for the future. I'm so excited for what's to come. And who knows, it could just be little small shows here and there, or it could be on a grand scale for a large production. Who knows? But I'm going to at least try. I'm going to see where it takes me, and I'm going to try to document as much as I can. I'm really excited. And so those are my life updates right now. I'm a theater girly again. I am still a little bit sick. We're traveling a lot. And oh, the other thing, Ryan's running his first marathon in January. I'm running a couple marathons that I'm about to announce, possibly one in December. I'm going to run the one with him in January. And then we're both running one in February. So we've got a lot of marathons lined up, a lot of races coming up. Really excited about that. We're just in a phase in our life where we're trying to say yes to everything, all the opportunities, grow and just enjoy life right now, enjoyed married life. We're finally settled into being a unit, being one. And so we're like, okay, let's take us and let's go experience and let's spread the light of Jesus wherever we can through what we do. And so that's where we're at now. Running, acting, singing, filming, traveling. That's us. But most importantly, loving Jesus. So I would say this week has been so high and so low on so many levels. But if you don't know, at the end of every podcast, I end with my highs and lows of the week. So my low, I'll always start with my low because we want to end on a good note here at That's Life Podcast. My low, just being sick. It's annoying. It's not like horrible. And there are so many people with like actual real legitimate sicknesses. So, you know, mine is nothing compared to that. And I feel for all those who do have crippling sicknesses, and it just breaks my heart. And it honestly makes me feel really guilty for complaining about a cough. But I would say like, if I had to pick a low, that would be the low, because it's just not fun to, you know, lose sleep over a cough. It's like, oh, it really makes you appreciate your health a lot, puts it into perspective. We're so quick to forget those things. I'm so quick to forget those things. So, you know, kind of a high from the low, but still just like, oh, I'm coughing. That's not fun. And then my high is LA. Like, come on, we went to Dancing with the Stars. Like, that is so cool. Yeah, what more can I say? Before I end this podcast, I do just want to say happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all the veterans out there who have dedicated their life, their livelihood, their family, their security, their everything to fighting for our country. We thank you so much. I thank you for your service, and we love you and we applaud you. Please soak in all of the appreciation today, because you deserve so much more than that. I love you all. Thanks for watching. Jesus loves you. I'll see you guys next week. And that's life.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.